Vishnu Yom is for Friday, the ninth day of Tishrei Tovshin Pehei. Masechta Bava Metzia, Perek Chamishi, Mishnah Zayin. We're going to learn here about prepayments and contracting prices for future supply of goods. When a buyer gives money to a seller so that the seller will supply merchandise at a later time, there are a number of conditions have to be met before that's permitted. If there is no merchandise available for the seller, he doesn't have it yet, and the price is not yet fixed in the marketplace, then it's forbidden to contract on a price and say, I'll supply a certain amount if you pay me this X amount now. The worry is that maybe it'll be more expensive later, the price will go up. And then it comes out that he sold the goods at a prepaid price, at a cheaper price, because of the money that was advanced earlier. So it's a bit like it smacks of interest. But if the price was fixed in the market at the time, then even if the seller doesn't have any of the goods, any of the merchandise, or if the merchandise was in the hands of the seller, even if the price wasn't yet fixed, then there's no problem about prearranging a price for a future delivery. Says the Mishnah Zayin, Ein poskin al haperas. It is forbidden to prearrange with the seller to give him money, to prepay money, with the intention of getting a certain amount of bushels of grain, of fruits, when they become ripe, ad sheyetze hashar, unless or until the price is fixed in the market. If the price is fixed in the market, there's no problem, as we'll soon see. The fear is, the worry is, that maybe the price will go up of these fruits, they'll become more expensive, and the buyer will profit by getting the same amount that is now would cost a lot more. And why is he getting it? The buyer's getting it because he's prepaid. It's avak ribis. It smacks of interest. He's getting extra because, or getting a more expensive product because he's paid up front. Yotze hashar, if at the time they prearrange this contract, the price has already been fixed in the market, no problem, poskin. Then one is allowed to give the money to the prepay for the goods, with the intention of getting the fruits later on, because the afal pisha ein lo ze yesh lo ze. Even though the moicher, the seller, doesn't have fruits, but someone else in the market has got fruits, and he was able to buy it at that market price because it was fixed. So, for example, if the price was fixed at 4 soim for a seller, then the buyer can arrange to supply 100 sol for 25 sol. Now, when later on the seller will deliver the goods, and maybe it goes up, and now it's maybe it's double the cost. It's now 1 sol or 4 times the cost. 1 sol for a seller, it's no ribus, no interest at all. Why? Because at the time they made that agreement, if the seller wanted, he could have got the goods at a cheaper price. He could have bought it. He waited later. No, that's not a problem. What happens if the seller was the first of the harvesters? In other words, he's got the tavor, he's got the produce, and even though the market price has not yet been set, the buyer is allowed to prearrange a price and prepay Al Agodish for the grain that's sitting out there in the field, even though it still needs to be worked upon. The reason for that is because what's out there in the field is effectively already bought by the prepayment. So if it goes up in price, if it gets more expensive, the buyer can say, or we can say, well, it's the buyer's goods that have gone up. The seller's not supplying something more expensive, rather the buyer. Ah, but the buyer didn't do Meshicha. Normally, to make a kinyan, an acquisition, a buyer has to take it in his possession. We don't worry about that here. Why? Because, really, this whole thing is an avek ribis. It's midrabbanon. So as long as the seller has the goods, that's fine. The Chacham did not make that gezerah. Ve'al ha'ovit shel anovim. The same prearrangement can be done, or prepayment can be done, for a fixed price for wine of it shall and of him. So if you have a whole whole of it is the container that they put the grapes in to get soft before they tread upon them, before they press the grapes. So once the seller has already got the ovid shelanovim, he's got his grapes already waiting in the big vat or in this big container, they can prearrange a price for that. Any price they want, they can do right now. That's fine. V'alamaton shel zesim. They're allowed to do the same thing for a load of the container of the olives that are waiting there to be pressed as well. It'll be getting soft, I should say, in the container, the maton. V'alabeitzim shel yetzer. Or a potter who's preparing molds of clay to make pottery, they can already start making a price and a prepayment to supply pots. Valasid or limestone, mishishkoi vakibshon, from the moment they've already put it into the oven to burn them. In all these cases, even though there's more processing required, one is allowed to make a prearranged contract for the price, even though there's no market price, and that's because the seller had the goods already. So we look at it as if the buyer's goods, it already is the buyer's goods, and it's the buyer's goods that have gone up in price. He's not getting extra by the seller. Ufoisik imoy al hazeval. One can also prearrange for fertilizer to fertilize one's field. Kolimes hashana, all through the year, winter, summer, doesn't matter, even in winter, even though now he may not have any zevel. The zevel, the fertilizer had usually available in the summer. Even though you don't have it now, doesn't matter. And that's because there's usually so much of it around. So the Tanakhama says you can do this prearrangement for zevel, for manure, to supply fertilizer all year round. Rabbi Yossi argues, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ein poiskin ala zevel, elim ken hoi lo zevel bashba. He disagrees. He says that whether it's summer or winter, a buyer cannot prearrange with a seller to supply fertilizer until he has it. Actually, he's got to have it already there in his yard in a big heap. Now, the chachamim are in between these two extremes. They say yes, you can. They allow a buyer and a seller to make this arrangement, prepay for a future delivery of fertilizer, even though he doesn't have it, but only in the summer, because even though he may not have it, the seller may not have it, the fella down the road may, and the other fella may. In other words, in summer, there was usually an availability of fertilizer, much more than in the winter. In the winter, the Chachamim would agree, no prearrangement, unless he's actually got it in his field. Ufoisik imoy keshar hagavoya, and one can even contract to supply at a cheaper price if it goes down. This is not directly related to what we've just been talking about, the case of the fertilizer. This goes back on what we learned in the beginning of the Mishnah. We said in the beginning of the Mishnah that if the price has been determined in the marketplace, you can make this prearrangement of contracting to supply a future delivery at a price that they agree now. And our Mishnah is telling us here is that not only can they contract a price now for what the market price is, but they can even make a further qualification or a further condition of the contract that should the price get cheaper, the seller is obliged to give it that cheaper price. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda and he says, I'll tell you even further. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afal pi shaloi posak imoy keshar gavoya. Even if it was not part of the conditions, they were never mentioned it as a condition, that the buyer has the right to get the cheaper price if it goes down. Yochel ho loimar, the buyer can say, ten likazeh, give me the cheaper price, I tell him, I'll give my money back, and I'll buy it at the cheaper price from someone else. Because since he didn't actually do a mashicha, he didn't actually take a formal kinyan, he's always able to cancel the contract if the seller doesn't want to supply the cheaper rate. And he doesn't even get a telling off, a what we call a third-party course, a curse called the Mishapara. Mishapara was a curse they used to give. Whoever punishes the generation of the flood will punish someone who doesn't keep to his word. But it won't apply here. And that's because he only gave the money, the buyer only gave the money with the intention of a future delivery. And if in the meantime the price has changed, well, it's self-understood that the buyer expects to get the cheaper price. To summarize, pre-arranging a delivery at a price now, at a price is for a future delivery, is permitted unless two things are present. Number one, that the seller has nothing of it at all whatsoever. And number two, that the price has not been fixed for it in the marketplace. If those two conditions are there, then it's forbidden, because it's like avacaris. If any one of those conditions is not there, then it's fine. Certainly, if both conditions are not there. Mishnah Ches. The Chachamim forbade a person borrowing a kilo for a kilo. If a borrower has a kilo of fruits, and a borrower wants to borrow a kilo of fruit, and he says to the lender, look, I'll pay you a kilo of fruit later. Not allowed. Why? Because maybe the fruits will be more expensive, and he's giving him more than what he borrowed. Giving back more than what he borrowed. It's avek ribis. When do we say this, however? This is when there was no fixed price yet, and the borrower did not have in his house any of those fruits that he wants to borrow. Then he cannot borrow a kilo for a kilo. Yet what he has to do instead is he has to make it a money value. So he says, I want a kilo worth of $100 worth of bananas. I'll give you back $100 or $100 of bananas. That's fine. Let's have a look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is going to deal with sharecroppers. Now, sharecroppers get they work someone's field with the reward of getting a percentage of the yield of the harvest. Now, the question is, can the owner of the field lend the sharecroppers a certain amount, a kilo of wheat, to get back a kilo of wheat? Let's have a look at the Mishnah. Malve odom esar risov chitin bechitin. With a landowner, he's allowed to lend his sharecroppers wheat to get back the same quantity of wheat, and that's permitted. Normally, we say it's forbidden, but he's allowed to do it not for food, but lazara, for the purpose of sowing in the field these wheat seeds. So that is allowed to be done, to lend wheat, or to give him wheat from the wheat, in the wheat seed, to plant, sow in the field, that's permitted. Avol loy lechol, but not if it's for the sake of eating. For the sake of eating, can't do it, because we're worried that maybe the wheat goes up in price, he'll return back something worth more, that's like interest. But for zera, it is permitted. Let's explain. What's the difference? So the Gemara explains that we're talking here about a case where normally the sharecropper was expected to put and pay for the zera. He has to supply the seeds. So that if the sharecropper does not, then the owner of the field has the right to remove him and say, get off my land. As long as you haven't paid the zera, get off my land. And that's regardless of whether he started to work the field, whether he has not yet started to work the field. If the normal conditions of this sharecropping arrangement is that the sharecropper has to pay for the seeds, that is permitted. Why? Because the Baal HaSoda, the landowner, is not really lending him the wheat seeds. We say that the sharecropper goes down with the intention to earn a certain percentage of the harvest, and there is a condition. It's part of the condition that he has to pay, he has to put the zera into it. And if he didn't, then when the landowner is giving it to him and putting it to sow in the field, he has to pay that back. It's not really a lending situation. It's part of the conditions of the sharecropping arrangement. Any moment, if he didn't do it, the landowner could throw him off. It's called a special condition of contract. But if it's a place where the custom is that the owner of the field normally gives the zera, normally gives the seeds, it's up to the landowner to give the seeds. Then it depends. If the sharecropper has not yet started working the field, then it's permitted to lend him to give him the wheat seeds and get back wheat seeds. Why? Because the owner of the field has still got an opportunity to say, remove him from the field. He hasn't started yet. He says, look, I know that this is a place where the landowner gives a sara, but you know what? I don't want you to work in my field if you're not going to put in the seed yourself. You haven't started working, get off. That's fine. Because then it means that when he went down, when the sharecropper started to go down into the field, he went down into the field with the intention of taking less. He's going to get one saw less for his sharecropping arrangement. It's again, he's not borrowing and paying back. It's just a condition of the sharecropping. But if it's a place where the landowner normally gives the seed, and here what happened was the sharecropper has already gone down into the field. He's already started. And he's done it with the good intentions, with the honourable intention that he would get paid like any other sharecropper. He'd get his thing without any deductions because it's the landowner has to pay the seeds, and therefore the landowner cannot remove him and cannot make new conditions. So now it becomes not a sharecropping arrangement as part of the conditions. It's not like he's getting a saw less or a kilo less when he gets his sharecropping. Now it's a real loan. Now that's a loan, and that is a problem, and then he would not be able to do it. So once again, the only time it cannot be done is when two things occur. Number one, it's the normal practice in the community that the landowner supplies the seeds, and that the sharecropper has already started work in the field. In these situations, when these two conditions are present, then there's no way that the landowner can stop him and take away and charge him for the seeds that he has lent him. And if he does, now it's a loan, and then he cannot do it. He cannot lend chitim for chitim. Shahoya, the Mishnah concludes, Shahoya Rabban Gamliel malve esarisov chitin v'chitin lazara. Rabban Gamliel used to lend his sharecroppers, people who worked on his fields, wheat for wheat, for zara, for seeds. Whether it was biyoker and whether the wheat was more expensive when he lent it to them, v'huzlo and got cheaper later, or bezoil, or whether it was cheaper when he lent it to him. When he lent his sharecroppers, and they got more expensive, he would always take it the cheaper rate. Notel men kasharzal, he would always take the cheaper rate. So if the wheat, let's say, went down, he would only take from them the amount that he lent them. So there was a kilo of wheat, and it was worth $100, and now it's worth only $50. He said, that's fine, just give me the kilo of wheat. And if, on the other hand, it went up, let's say at the time of the loan, the kilo was worth $100, and then afterwards it went up to $200. He would still only ask for half a kilo. He'd go the cheaper rate. Now he didn't really have to do that, because as we said before, for zera, when the landowner lends it for seed, for plant, for sowing, that's what he's saying. You don't have to do what he did, and give it the cheaper rate always. As the Mishnah points out, v'loy mipnei shalacha kein, it's not because it was demanded by halacha that Rabban Gamliel did this, elo sherotza lahachmir al atzmo. He wanted to be strict for himself. Rabban Gamliel was machmir. But halacha, he didn't have to do that. Halacha, he could have given his sharecroppers, or lent his sharecroppers wheat, a kilo of wheat, and get back a kilo of wheat, because it's lazara. It was for sowing in the ground, and it's a condition of the sharecropping rather than a loan.